selection from a novel I'm working on called Bradbury, taken from a cycle of three novels. And it's set slightly in the future, but it will be one world government, and it will be achieved by one leader called Julius Nero. So, without further ado, I'll launch into it. Chapter 1. In my 14th summer, I looked up and saw first the sun, then the shimmering afterglow of blue skies, and beyond blue skies, beyond sight and sound, I dreamed. And I knew I dreamed, but my dreams were not wrong. I saw spacecrafts on mission. They were out there in missionary position, and around us, aliens, after ensuring the legitimacy and credibility of special ops, did wet work according to internal defense tactics, techniques, and procedures. They were following orders, as we all do someone's bidding, and somewhere above, unmanned crafts hung in the sky in holding pattern, just monitoring, waiting for something to happen, taking perfect pitch and perfect note. Life went on. I know that from History Channel and the news beamed hourly to a billion screens. This just in. This is the news. Life goes on. Because of us, for now, we're safe. And as this came through the tubes, as across the blue planet people and goods and armies shifted into position for the big one, another war began. Millions died once more in the cycle of struggle, and another superpower will take over. Same motive, different operandi. Crafts recorded civilian and troop movements. Billions of images sent to mission control. Billions of libraries of data amassed and analyzed. Terribly clever. But to what end? We were over there, in Galway, that summer. Because the year before, as my father sat on the 50th floor in the financial quarter, he was visited by people who showed him audio and video clips of his mother-in-law and her son. They, mother-in-law and brother-in-law, wanted to kill him. Mr. Bradbury, sir, your life is in danger. And here's the proof. You've got your own little war. And I knew that, like all other pieces of data, the original file about my uncle and grandmother slept in great subterranean structures hidden beneath the ground. But as the drone monitors, regardless of conspiracy theorists and propaganda, I knew those robots clocked most everything humans and aliens did. I suppose I should worry about them. As a post-Tibetan, I knew these machines only as dreams and exciting imaginings. What are they doing up there? Do they take days off? Play chess? Kill us? Do they care what we are doing down here? I wondered if they know what was happening to Eva and me. If they knew, they kept it quiet. And that summer, in the record recorded light and heat, the tiny bonds that broke and mended in the lab of humanity, Galway Bay glowed and shimmered like the surfaces of some unvisited planet. We come in peace, fear not. And the landscape shone blue and yellow and green with light and heat. I spent time sitting mostly outside a cottage Laura and Max had rented that particular August for our help and safety. By Laura and Max, I meant Mom and Dad. Don't get me wrong. They were the kindest, most giving people I ever knew. I watched the sky, the water, and the changing palette of colours on the hills. I cycled round and made maps of my journeys. I visited old ruins of castles and houses and barns and towers. I read a lot. I wandered up the sides of mountains, and when alone and not reading, I slept. Sure, why not? I did it to clear my mind and a sense of stifling frustration. A swift shot of endorphins, so refreshing and relaxing. Then I would wander down through the fields to read and be alone. Mother said it was better that we be alone down here than in Dublin and in danger. But there was no danger, at least not from Galway Jane and Uncle Jim. My hair, once tight cut over the summer months, grew longer and more unmanageable. My skin went golden brown in the unrelenting sun. My jeans were cut off from the knees. My sandals were unbuckled. Thanks very much. I'll leave it at that.